I ask that you pray silently with me, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart are acceptable to the Lord. Amen. Earlier this summer, I was going to say a few weeks ago, but the way the summer flies by, it is probably 7 or 8 weeks ago, I was sitting in another church, and the lector started to read the scripture lessons. My ears perked up, and I started to listen carefully because I recognized the scripture lesson as the Mary and Martha story, the one that we read earlier today. Since I had given 2 talks here in the pulpit on Martha and Mary, I eagerly sat back in my chair to hear what this preacher was going to say, especially when he is known to give a good sermon. Well, I have to say that I was disappointed. He mentioned it, a few sentences, and he started to speak on the other scripture lessons. His comments were so quick that I almost did not get what he was saying because I was so surprised he didn't give it more time. I think he mentioned that he and his fellow seminarians used to sit and have long discussions on this Bible passage years ago. And I think, because I can't really remember, I was trying to remember it all because it was only very brief, that his next comment was that God wanted us to spend time with him, which may be the whole point of the passage, but there was so much more to it. I was so surprised that he did not say more. I said to myself, doesn't he realize how important this passage is? And I wondered why he did not say more. Was it because he was a priest? Was it because he was a man? Is this passage only important to women? And I also said to myself, maybe I should send him a copy of my sermon or ask him. But unfortunately, I did not send him a copy of my sermon. I have not been back to speak to him. But the more I thought of it, the more I thought that I had to revisit my sermon and make additional comments. So my apologies to those who have heard some of this before. Well, are you a Martha? Are you a Mary? Or are you someone in between? Or are you just you? These are the questions I started my sermon on Martha and Mary back in November of 2010. And then asked again a year later. I can't believe it's 3 years ago. I would have thought it was like last year. But anyway, for those who were there when I spoke about Martha and Mary and asked these questions, do you remember what you decided? And did it have any impact on your thoughts? I do remember that there was a lot of discussion during coffee hour that Sunday in 2010 and the following week. A lot of people were discussing whether they were a Mary or a Martha, and how we can each relate to both women. I also felt and said at that time that Mary and Martha and their story was very complex, and it would take more than one sermon to discuss them. And I said at the time, after doing more reading for this talk, there is enough information to have a Mary and Martha part 3 or 4, because when you add their brother Lazarus into the picture, it becomes more interesting and more complex. But we are not going to discuss Lazarus today. We are doing a Mary and Martha part 3 and how it pertains to all women and men. In November 2010, when Tom and I first discussed this, and he in fact was the first person to ask the question about being a Mary or a Martha, I thought about the question. I think that I said that it may be a Mary, but it might be a Martha. And I had always empathized with the story because I come from a family with 2 sisters and a brother. So it's an interesting thought. Tom was nice enough to give me a book on the subject, Having a Mary Heart in a Martha World, by Joanna Weaver. I have found this book fascinating, and most of the material for this sermon came from that book with some input from our everyday life. And while doing the sermon, I realized that I never returned the book. I will have to speak to Tom about this. I highly recommend that we all read it, and I certainly recommend it for a book discussion. And maybe you can borrow from Tom, because I should really return or replace it. But I also feel that I've only scratched the surface of this book. So as I started in 2010 and 2012, and now this year, are you a Martha or a Mary? To be honest, I have not asked this question recently, but I remember what some of the answers were in 2010 and 2012. But the one I will always remember is what my coworker Dottie said almost 3 years ago when I asked her that question. She said she would really like to be Mary sitting at Jesus' feet, but with all the things she is involved with, she might be a Martha. I still find this comment very profound. I think a lot of women, and maybe men, feel the same way. So let's go over the story of Martha and Mary. There's only 5 verses in the Bible. Martha invited Jesus and his entourage of X amount of people into her home. When I was a child in Sunday school, I learned this story. I remember the picture of Martha standing in the background holding a basket or a jug. Maybe it was blue. And there was Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to everything he was saying. Only 3 people in the story. No brother Lazarus. No disciples. No one else. It was simple. Martha worked, and Mary listened, and Jesus spoke, sort of rebuking Martha. But really, reading the story as an adult, Martha invited a lot of people into her home, which she shared with her sister Mary. Nothing is really known about Martha's or Mary's marital status, but from my readings for today, it is speculated that Martha had been married and then widowed for her to be the mistress of a home. And if you remember reading the long reading from Proverbs that Linda did about what a wife did, there was a lot of work done by the women of the day. And it appears that Martha may have had a large home to accommodate a lot of people. How many people? Jesus traveled with his disciples and had many followers. If they were all with him, there were at least 13 extra people in Martha's house. So Martha, whose name actually means lady of the house, is now responsible for feeding a large number of guests, including Jesus, who she loves. And they are all in her living room while she is in the kitchen. How would you feel if you were preparing a holiday dinner in the kitchen and everybody else was in the living room talking and probably watching a football game? And you needed help and your sister or daughter or husband was ignoring you. Put yourself in Martha's shoes. So going back to the story, Martha is beside herself. She wants everything to be perfect for Jesus. She is distracted, fretting, and worried, although she does continue to get everything ready. Martha sees her sister sitting at the feet of Jesus and listening to Jesus' words. A place that Martha might like to be also, but she has the work to do. And Mary is sitting in the living room with all the guests, who are probably all men. In that day and age, women just did not sit with a group of men like Mary was doing. You can imagine Martha's actions. She probably tried to get her sister's attention many times because Martha really needed help. When she could not get Mary's attention, she does not speak to Mary. She speaks to Jesus, hoping that he will support her and tell Mary to help. She says, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." But Jesus does not tell Mary to leave and help her. He quietly says, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things." In a way, he was sympathizing with Martha, but he goes on to say, "But only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen the better, and it will not be taken away from her." Basically, he is telling Martha that she should be in the living room also. that it is important to make time to hear and learn and listen, thus making time for God, or to be more specific, getting balance in her life. Let me take a minute to talk about Mary. Mary is the Hebrew Miriam. That means wisdom or wise lady. We do not know if she was a widow or single, but we do know that she is the younger sister and she lives with Martha. She loves Jesus and wants to be near him and hear what he has to say. In other words, she got it. Mary, the wise lady, has decided to sit with Jesus. But in making this statement, it does not mean that Martha is not wise, just busy, responsible. Jesus wanted Martha to feel the love that Mary felt when she was sitting at his feet. Jesus wanted both Martha and Mary to sit and communicate with God and feel God's love and strength. Jesus was preaching new things, different from what the religious leaders of his day were preaching. He was stressing God's love and that God wants us to pray and be with him. He was preaching a loving God, not a stern God. Today's third reading, which was also read last week, is one of my favorites. It also stresses that God loves us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Pastor Tom discussed these verses last week in his sermon, and he also stressed God's love for us. But I would like to add that I feel there is something that can separate us from the love of Christ, and that is ourselves. We can choose to accept God's love. We are our own worst enemy. But whether we accept it or not, God's love is always there. So we can choose to go into the living room, and we can choose not to go in. It is a matter of choice. And once we go, make the choice to go into the living room, we need to balance our lives. We are all very busy. Balance is so important, but sometimes very hard to achieve. And the choices we make also affect the balance of our lives. I cannot presume to tell you how to get balance in your lives, because I find it hard to balance my own life. Years ago, if someone had asked me a question, are you a Martha or a Mary? I probably would have said that I was a Mary, but really, sometimes I think I am a Martha. But the Mary and Martha story is a good reminder, and I'm glad to have myself reminded that I need to get into that living room again and spend more time feeling God's love. I hope you realize that I've been using kitchen as a place for busyness and living room as a place of just being with God and praying. These terms were used in the book, A Mary Heart in a Martha World. God is also with us all the time. And so he is actually with us in the kitchen with our busyness, but he wants us to have that special quiet time with him in the living room. And I also want to add that this Bible passage is important because it's about women. And the writer of this gospel included this story in his gospel. The same story could have been written using men, but it was not. It was showing that Jesus and Luke thought that women were important. And as a woman, I am happy that Jesus thought I had value. Now, you are probably wondering where the Tom, Dick, and Harry in the title of my sermon come into this sermon. Well, I use them to represent all men. Because just as it's important for women to get balance in their lives, as well as feel the love of God, it is equally important for men. They also get busy and stressed in their offices or places of work, their kitchens, and they too would like to find time to be with God in the living room. And just as Martha and most women have all these responsibilities in running a household, and the household must run well for members of it to eat and be clothed, and probably in this day and age, work outside the home. It is also important for men to be able to work and earn money to pay for the necessities of their families. And also, men are under tremendous pressure and stress at work. So they, too, are in a hard place, wanting to sit and communicate with God, but also make a living. They would also like to be in the living room. So they, too, must make choices and try to achieve balance in their lives. We know that Martha learned her lesson and became a woman of faith later in the Bible when we read the chapter on, Lazarus dying. So we all know that it is possible for us to learn our lessons and make choices to balance our lives. So Martha got Jesus' message, and do you? God actually wants us to balance our lives so that we may have time for him and also to feel his love. So I ask as I am ending this talk, are you a Martha, a Mary, or a man who wants to find peace and love of Christ in the living room? And as I usually end my talk, God loves each and every one of you. And I'm adding, as reinforced in Romans 8, 38, 39, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We just have to accept it. Amen.